Okay, video four of a boot camp. It's kind of switched over to just going through the book of Corinthians, really. And before I say this, like to my right and to my left, I'm walking around the block. So to my right, every time I knew, it's like a halfway house. Every time a new one walks in, they say, "Oh, you do ride share?" Yeah, I already know what they're doing. They want to ride. The one across the street, every time she comes out, she yells at her dog. I already know she's going to yell at her. She don't even know she's doing it. They're running on programs. You can actually see it. And it's a different person. It could be a different person, but they all act the same. Just like all the drinkers act the same, all the drug heads, they all act the same. And it's like, you already know they're coming at you to look. They're trying to find something. They're trying to, they're not trying to help you. They're not trying to build up. They're not trying to offer anything. They're trying to take. Steal, kill, and destroy. They're trying to take something. Can I get a ride? You got a phone, right? Yeah? Well, just type in Uber. You can get you a ride. I'm not your daddy. I'm not your daddy. You got two legs, don't you? You got two arms. They're always looking somebody to vampire off. Anyway, that's the program. That's part of the program. So when you read 1 Corinthians, I'm kind of talking about chapters 1 through 4, 5 today. And if you think about what Paul is doing, Paul is addressing the carnal Christians, which is pretty much a program. He's calling them out on their pride. They had pride because I'm of Paul, Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this one. He said, look, is the body of Christ divided? Why are you saying you're following this one or following this one? And then they had pride about who they followed, you know. It's kind of like today. Well, I'm in this Baptist church. I'm over here in this church. I'm over here. We got the truth. We have the truth. And then they were prideful about showing grace to some dude that was actually sleeping with his mother-in-law. And it's like they were proud of their grace, you know. Same thing today. Same thing today. Paul said, no, you're not divided. You don't follow me. You don't follow some other apostle. You follow Christ. You're one in Christ. We're just ministers. We're just messengers. We're just giving you the truth. And he says, you got the Holy Spirit. You know, you're not of the world. You should be able to discern these things, you know. And I remember growing up, people fighting over Chevrolet. They would actually get mad at each other. I'm a Ford man, Chevrolet man. Oh, found on road dead. First on race day. And it's like, they really got mad. And the same thing with these football teams and all, they still get mad. So you see the division down here. But inside the body of Christ, there's one faith, one Lord, one baptism. There's one doctrine. Like I said before, though, no matter what you tie into, it tends to turn into a cult because everybody thinks that their pastor has the whole truth or their church is the best. Or he was rebuking them for their carnal mind set. He was trying to train, and he was showing grace. I mean, the way he said it, it's hard to see that it's a rebuke because he showed so much grace. But he's telling them, look, in Christ you have all things. Doesn't matter if it's Paul, Cephas, whatever apostle, they're all yours. These truths are yours. They're all for everybody. God sent the Holy Spirit to teach the whole church, and each person that's giving out truth is to edify the whole body. You don't have to be stuck with one person. You can learn from everybody. You can actually learn from the laws just observing them. You can see that they're running on a program, actually. Like I say, every time a new person moves in, they see me back into the car and say, "Oh, you do right here." Yeah, I already know what they're gonna say. Yeah, so I play the game. It's just like the Truman Show. Yeah, I do ride share. Yeah. Well, can you give me a ride? No, just follow the app, man. Just download the app. Well, I just need. I don't work on your schedule. I work on my schedule. I do it when I want to do it. See, they want it on their schedule. They want convenience. They don't have to, and they want to get over on you because every time this happens. If you were to give them a ride, I'll give you $10. You take me to Walmart, and on the way to Walmart, can you stop over here at the ABC store? Can you take me over to my friend's house? It's the same game. They're all gamers. They're not even master deceivers. When you marry one of these master manipulators, that's a different story, you know. If they can get across your threshold, then get you yoked up in some business or some, let's say you marry one of these carnal minds. If you marry one of these, you're in for a roller coaster ride. And it ain't no fun. It ain't a fun roller coaster ride either. But Paul was showing them grace, you know. But at the same time, he was being stern about it, saying, "Hey, that dude needs to be disciplined." And then later, you know, in 2 Corinthians, he says, "Take him back into the church. He's repentant. Don't destroy him." You know, So I'm walking around the block and talking about this. When you look at the history of the church, you see there's a pull back to the worldly mindset versus who you are in Christ, your identity. He's saying, hey, you're in Christ, in God, you know. You're in Christ, Christ in God, Holy Christ in you. And so you got the Holy Spirit in you. You're hid in Christ in God. And it seems like the way he talks, there was possibly some rich people in the congregation with pride, you know. And he says, "You're all the same. You all have the truth." He said, "We're an example. Yeah, we could get y'all to tithe and, you know, or help not tithe, but, you know, give." He said, "We work and we sacrifice and we're." All that stuff, you know, he's saying that the typology of Christ going to the cross, sacrifice, is obvious, and you don't have to hide from it, and everybody's trying to get away from it, but there is sacrifice in this place, you know. I don't have it in front of me. I'm walking around the block. Maybe I'll do a second one. Yeah, I'll probably do a second one on these first five chapters. And then later on, the stuff that they wrote to him about different things, that guy with his mother-in-law going to court with other believers, all kinds of stuff. But I'm sure y'all have read the book, at least I hope so. We already know, but that diving deep into this thing, you start to see some patterns. When a person gets saved, they're leaving the program. What are some of the programs? Greed, envy, jealousy, running the streets, being prideful, And that's always about them being prideful, ain't it? That's what a sister in Christ taught me one time. She said, that's always a battle, ain't it? Yeah. And that's what he's addressing. You have to look at the example of Christ and how he went to the cross and how the apostles, he says, I come in these first four or five chapters, he says, I didn't come with you with excellency of speech. I come with you just talking. He said, but the power of the Spirit, I didn't come with something fancy. I just came with the power of the Spirit, you know? And you see that in chapter 1. Two, he's talking about the things that we receive, they're spiritually discerned by the spirit creatures. But the world, the flesh creatures, they can't hear you. That's why they laugh at you and mock you and call you crazy and everything else. You're able to see it spiritually, but they can't hear you. And they're all running on a program. Babylon. And the devil can take them captive at will. He's the puppet master of these creatures. They're human, but they're running on a program. They're like robots to the devil. And you know the program that they're running on. The world, the flesh, and the pride of life. So when they're dealing with you, what are they trying to do to you? Pull you into the world, the flesh, or the pride of life. That's all they're doing. They don't understand why you take the narrow path. They don't understand that. They take the wide path, but you take the narrow path. And the worldlings don't understand it. The flesh creatures don't understand it. Because they're controlled by the devil, the spirit of the age, the spirit of the air. And notice they're always destroying themselves. Even Elon Musk, think about it, he's not saved. Think about it. All the money in the world, and he's chasing these Jezebel. Amber Heard, the other lady. Workaholic. Why is he such a workaholic? He thinks we're going to go to Mars. He thinks he can fix the earth. He thinks he can make this a better place. But the Bible's clear. It's going to get worse. There's going to be more hurricanes and storms. Lovers of pleasure instead of lovers of God. Despisers of truth. Dishonoring themselves amongst each other. It's wild. I'm just sitting here thinking about how wild this place is. And when I saw the Shekinah glory, it's like, okay, I started getting downloads about how the truth's right in front of me. Everything in front of you is an object lesson. He even says in that in those four chapters somewhere, and I can't remember the verse exactly, he says, there's one little sentence that says something to the effect that you know this is temporary. He doesn't say it like that. I'm trying to remember how he said it. You know this is temporary. It's easy to see that it's temporary. The Bible says there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. World without end, but it's going to be renovated. And if the Bible says there's no more tears, no more ocean, no more sin, no more sine wave, if there's no more ocean, the waves are going away. The sine wave is going away. The storyline down here is the same, even when you look at Corinthians, it's the same today. And so by reading, you know, I used to not think Corinthians was the chapter 1 was a good one, chapter 15, talking about the rapture of church. There's different chapters in there, 13, the love chapter, there's certain chapters in 1 Corinthians that I really love, but it never really was one of my favorite books. Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians were my favorite, and Revelation. I went through the book of Revelation like 8 times, but now that I'm doing a deep dive into Corinthians, I'm seeing what Paul's doing. Paul is trying to bring the carnal Christians into spiritual Christians, you know, moving them from drinking milk into drinking meat. Instead of eating milk, they can eat meat. Instead of drinking milk, they can eat meat, the meat of the word, and not get offended. See, the flesh mind always gets offended when you rebuke the flesh mind. But if you're really saved and you have a spirit mind, somebody rebukes you, you say, praise God, hallelujah, I had a blind spot, thank you. I had a blind spot, thank you, praise the Lord. It's kind of like on a job. When the boss rebukes you at first, you're like, ow, I didn't, oh. But it's actually for your benefit. I told a manager recently, I said, you know, when you put people to work, you're actually doing them a favor because you're keeping their mind busy, you're giving them exercise, and you're keeping them occupied. You're actually doing them a favor. Because the idle mind is the devil's workshop, right? So when I look at Corinthians now, I'm seeing the same storyline, the same fractal storyline that's happening today. When I'm dead and gone, every age down here in the earth plane, because think about it. These people got saved out of Babylon, Corinth. Corinth, another version of Babylon. And so they got saved out of Corinthian lifestyle. And he's trying to teach them their identity and not to think like the... See, we didn't have the... Like, we got the preachers that come on the radio and the TV now. They didn't have that. Paul would write them letters, you know. And so these games that the devil plays... Pride games, they were saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Apollos, I'm of this one. And so you can actually see that happening today. But it's the world, it's pride. So he's actually attacking pride in two ways in the first 5 chapters. The pride that they had some dude sleeping with them. Stepmother, and didn't, they didn't rebuke him, and then they had pride about who they were following. They were divided, and then I think, I can't prove it, there was some rich people in the church that pride that they didn't have to go through any kind of suffering. I can't prove that, but that's what it seems like they're saying in that there's some people that are just sitting around like big fat cats, just chilling. Can you imagine Apostle Paul trying to reach everybody he could who got saved without the internet, without the YouTube, without all the TV or the radio preaching? See, it's at everybody's fingertips now. But here's the thing. Today, if the devil sees somebody speaking the truth, the devil will send somebody, not just one. Let's say you're speaking the truth. The devil will send 1,000 agents to try to change your message and try to, you know, that's why Paul said, I didn't come with the excellency of speech, but the power of the Spirit. These truths are really simple. But the flesh mind rejects it and runs from it and mocks it. And the devil knows how to pull up somebody out of the sea of people and to get them to pretend to be you or pretend to sound like you and try to get the message twisted and pull them back into the world, the flesh, and pride life. Most everything you see online is just pride. And everything in this system is trying to pull you back to Babylon. They want you to worship some car or some company or some weightlifter or some model, some actress. They want you to worship somebody's image, outward show. And they want you focused on the outside instead of the inner renewal, the inner man being renewed. Almost everybody around you is about the outside. And they say stuff, let's go do this, let's go have some fun doing this. I'm having fun just standing right here. What are you talking about? I'm having fun meditating on the truth. Why would I go where there's a bunch of noise and a bunch of unsaved people take away my peace? Why would I do that? See, it's all a psyop. It's all a game. Think about it. Most of the world is unsaved. So everything they do is idolatry. Everything they do is the world. Everything they do is the flesh. Everything they do is pride. If they're not saved, they can only walk in pride. You know, just like the narcissist, the outward narcissist, they're, you can see their pride. But then you got the subtle ones who play the victim and to pull you in, and then you find out they were never the victim. They were just trying to pull people in. So there's all kinds of narcissism, extrovert, introvert, stuff like that. But if they're not saved, it's all pride. Everything they're doing is pride. I had a stepdad get saved on his deathbed, but he was a workaholic. What is that? That's pride. Not only is it pride, but it's also it's a fear thing. You see people in business, they're just running on fear. They're running on fear. It's a program. It's either from their childhood, their bloodline, their culture, the people they work with. You know, you get around people and stuff tries to rub off on you, you know. And if you're not in the words, it's going to rub off on you. Long story short, I'm seeing the fractal, because I'm doing a deep dive, I'm seeing the fractal in Corinthians just like I do in Ephesians and all. So Ephesians is sit, walk, stand, you know, who you are in Christ, how to walk and how to stand. So Paul is addressing these carnal believers, teaching them, hey, you're no longer in the world. You're out, you've been redeemed out of the world. You don't have to act like them. You have all things in Christ. The world is yours. The stars are yours. The universe is yours. It's all yours. Don't be prideful about being rich. It's all yours. Whatever apostles teach you, they're yours. In other words, they're for you. God sent them here for you. Christ is yours. He went to the cross for you. You're no longer of the world. He didn't save you to stay in the world. He saved you to pull you out of the world's mindset. Because think about it. The devil, when the devil dropped down and Adam and Eve dropped down, what did they do? They dropped down in a program. And that program is the flesh mind. In order to function without God, you have to have some kind of program, right? So really think about what I'm getting to say. This is the most important thing. If you're separated from God, you can't function. So you have to have something to animate you. The demonic spirit, the spirit of the age, the TV, the music, the media. So if you're separated from God, you're running on a program because otherwise you couldn't function. You'd just be in the bed like a vegetable. But so the devil came in, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of tare, the kingdom of Tyre, the tares, the wheat and the tares, right? So there had to be a king of the darkness, right? Just like there's a kingdom of light, there's a kingdom of darkness. So you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to kingdom light. Now, how does the kingdom of darkness work? It's anti. So apart from God, you're dead. So they have to animate these dead flesh creatures with the music, with the education system, with the fake science. All this fake stuff is an animation program. Otherwise, the flesh creature couldn't even function. Wouldn't even know how to eat. It's like your mom and family, your dad and your family train you how to eat as a child. You're being trained for 18 years to get out, kick you out of the nest. But because you've been trained by the program of the flesh, when you get saved, just like the Corinthians, it takes a while to step into the spirit walk. Instead of walking by sight, you walk by faith. Instead of going by your own understanding, you study, you believe the word. And that's why I was talking about how if you study a little bit of game theory and what was the other one? Super forecasting, you'll start to see that sine wave, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I'm bipolar. Well, you're not bipolar. You're just swinging up and down trying to survive in a place without God and without His Word. So when you get in the Word, it takes that polarity and levels it out. And so this, like, let's say, like, he said, she said stuff. Well, they said this about you. Well, I don't care what they said. You can believe what you want. Just leave me alone. You know, they try to create that he said, she said, up and down, drama, sine wave, sin wave situation so that you are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And it doesn't even have to be doctrine. It could just be drama, tossed to and fro by every wind out there. But when you get your mind grounded in the Word, you're not tossed to and fro. And so my point is, the same thing Paul is telling the Corinthians, we should be telling ourselves in this day and age, because the world has not changed, the flesh has not changed, and the pride of life has not changed. None of that's changed. You see it in Genesis. You see it, the Apostle Paul say it in the New Testament, the world, the flesh, pride of life. And you also see it in Genesis where Eve was tempted by the world, the flesh, and pride of life. And so the same game is being played. But the way he was teaching them in grace is what I'm... The way he was teaching in grace is what I was looking at, because he really did care about the church, you know. I'm talking about the born again. When you don't care about anybody, you're not going to waste time on them. But when you care about somebody, you're going to spend time trying to get them right, you know. So the Apostle Paul really did love the church. And they attacked the Apostle Paul. Why would anybody attack the Apostle Paul? He didn't just rebuke the women. He rebuked the men too. You can see that in 1 Corinthians. He also rebuked the leaders, the so-called leaders in that area, or the rich people or whatever. He rebuked everybody. It wasn't just the women. But a lot of women hate Apostle Paul. But he's... Look. As the church submits to Christ, as Christ submits to God, as man submits to Christ, the woman submits to the husband, the children submit to the parents, there's order. If you try to reverse that, and it's obvious, Eve was taken out of the side of man, so she has a covering, and she wants the covering. She loves to have that covering. But when the Jezebel spirit kicks in, she tries to flip the covering. She tries to reverse it. She tries to reverse the curse in Genesis 3 via the energy of the flesh. She'll say, I'm going to Jezebel him into being a better provider. I'm going to Jezebel him into showing love. I'm going to Jezebel him into showing grace. I'm going to use the Jezebel tricks and manipulation to get him to to be in the spirit walk. Now, how is that going to work out? She's going to use the energy of the flesh, the Jezebel, to straighten her husband out. How's that going to work out? How can you use the energy of the flesh to promote somebody in the spirit? It don't work. So the Jezebel spirit is a counter. It's just it's the way the world tries to do things, you know. Look at Ahab. Ahab was demasculated, and he was the one allowing the problem in Israel. Elijah wasn't a problem. Ahab was, because he was letting Jezebel be the king. Instead of him taking the ropes and ruling, he was letting Jezebel rule. Ridiculous. And so if you look at Corinthians, that's what they were doing. They got saved, but they were still letting the flesh mind, the world, the flesh, pro life. They were proud of being in the world, being saved, but being in the world. When you get saved, you're actually, you can try to be a part of the world, but they know who you are. You can walk in a room. If you're really saved, you walk in a room, they know that you're not one of them. You can try to be. It ain't gonna work. It will never work if you're really saved. They will spit you out. They will chew you up and spit you out. And Jezebel will laugh at you and say, hey, look how much of a fool you are. Thinking you could change us and fit in with us, you know. It's just not going to happen. Look at YouTube. A really saved person ain't going to get a whole lot of hits on YouTube. And if you do get a bunch of subscribers, they're going to shut you down eventually. Going to make up something. If you get up to 10,000 subscribers, which I have been there, they're going to shut you down. Because once you hit like 10,000, that's like a snowball effect starting to happen. And they know it. You're going to change the world. 10,000, that just multiplies. They know that. Just like if you can save up $10,000, it's easier to get to 100,000 with 10,000 than it is 1,000. So once you hit 10,000 subscribers, that's like a turning point, and they have to come after you. It's one of those Genghis Khan things. They have to destroy you. If you get the truth out, they have to destroy you. My website's getting about 1,000 hits a day, it looks like. I probably, with faith alone and Jesus alone, I probably reached 10 million people. Probably. How many of them got saved? I don't know. But Corinthians is the same story that's happening today. And don't be surprised if you get persecuted for not being a part of them, because the world hates you, but they don't even know they hate you. They're running on a program. They will actually try to kill you and turn it around so you tried to kill them. I mean, that's how bad it is. They hate you for trying to save them. They hate you for trying to get them saved. They hate you for trying to get them to run to Jesus, because they worship themselves and they can't see their sin. When you walk in the room, they're convicted of sin because of the Holy Spirit in you. Not you, the Holy Spirit in you.